The Lord has really just put on my heart of late that we as the body of Christ, and I'm not just saying here, but the body, the church across our nation, has missed some things that keep us from the blessings that God has for us. Before I go there, I'm going to actually pray, if I may. Lord, we give you praise and honor and glory. And Lord, you put this message on my heart. It's been stirring. And I pray, Lord, that you would give me the words to speak. Lord, I pray that you would give the ears to hear your heart and what you have today, Lord, for the body. And Lord, for those that are online, I pray that as the Spirit is manifesting here in our service, Lord, that it would manifest through the internet and in their homes, Lord, that they would have the Spirit of God, the presence of God in their life as we would have the presence of God here. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so when I look at, and I listen to different podcasts because I do a lot of driving. And one of the podcasts I was recently listening to was talking about revival. How does revival start in our churches? How does revival start in America? How can we get this going? And we're seeing revival begin. We're seeing schools start, colleges starting to have the presence of God fall on them, and kids are getting saved, teenagers and young people are getting saved, and lives are being changed and are going into service. We're watching the manifested presence in different churches and throughout the Capital District. But how do we as a church, this church, what are some of the ways that we can bring and help usher in what God wants to do? Prayer is one, but it's more than that. It's so I'm going to take us through a little bit of a rabbit trail to get where I want to go. But we all know the story of the second thief on the cross, right? Does people know that? Luke 23, 40 through 45. Wow, this is really echoey up here. Echo, echo. Maybe it's just me. That's what I get for shooting without earplugs this week. And the scripture says, but the other criminal rebuked him, which was the second thief on the cross. Do not fear God, he said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what we deserve, what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. The bare minimum to be saved is to acknowledge who God is. Who acknowledge who Jesus was, that when we acknowledge him, that he is who he says he is, and we put our trust in him, we are saved. Can we agree with that? There are multiple people, there are people in churches that live their whole life like the second thief on the cross. They've accepted Jesus. They love to come. They love to have congregation time. They love to smile and laugh and have bagels and coffee. But they have lived the second thief on a cross life. And what do I mean by that? Because when we go on to Scripture, it says, it was now noon and the darkness came and the whole land until 3 in the afternoon and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. See, we love the part where we go, I love you, Jesus. Just come to me, Lord. Yes. But why did God tear the veil? That veil being torn was about us having freedom more than it, and really showing the Jewish people who he was. That veil being torn and Jesus' death on the cross ushered in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. Right? Jesus even says that. I have to go so that the other can come. So if the Holy Spirit is in us when we get saved, and the Holy Spirit is now everywhere, that we don't have to enter into the Holy of Holies because the Holy One is with us and in us, walking in us, walking with us. See, it used to be, and Pastor Ray's preached on this, it used to be at the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, Jewish holiday, the priest would go into the temple, he would do a blood sacrifice with a goat, he would have really plain linens and he'd tie a rope around him, and he would crawl into the last little chamber behind this veil, behind this curtain, and he would bring all of the sin offering for his people. He had to do that. There are faiths now that say that you have to go to a man or a person to confess your sin. You no longer have to do that. You can go directly to God himself. Now, the Bible does say it's good for us to confess our sins to one another. That's accountability, and that's a good thing. But we don't have to. We can go directly to God and who God and what Jesus did on the cross through the power of the Holy Spirit and have that deepening relationship with him. And it's not always feel good. Right? When God wants to stir in us and make changes in us, it is not always a feel good. There is a time of conviction that the Holy Spirit can bring. There is a time of change that the Holy Spirit may want to do in our lives. What happens when we live life as the second thief on the cross? We miss every blessing that the Lord has for us, right? Because why? Because God created you for a time such as this. God has a plan and purpose for you for a time such as this. When you come to church, do you come going, okay, I'm going to go into the holies of holies, I'm going to go into the presence of God, or do you say, I'm going to church to hear a good message? See, our hearts have to change if we want to see revival really break out in our church. And the change is us. From just being a body of believers to get together and say, hey, I accept Jesus. He's a pretty cool dude. I appreciate everything he did on the cross. To, Lord, I'm coming expecting. Lord, this is the holies of holies. Lord, this is a place where I can meet you. I was talking to the young adults not too long ago. I remember the old church 1,000 years ago when we were there after Noah's flood came. My greatest moments of breakthrough were not in a small group. We're not sitting getting counseling. We're not sitting doing anything. My greatest great breakthroughs were at the altar. I didn't care what people thought about me when I went to that altar because I was broken and I was hurt and I needed to hear what God had to say to me. I wanted God's love and God's presence and God's compassion upon me, and I wanted the darkness to go more than I gave what people's thoughts and opinions are. That was corrected in my head pretty quick. He's still working PR. The altar is the place to come to enter into the holies of holies, to come past that veil that Jesus became. Really? Jesus became the veil? Yeah. Hebrews 10, 19 through 23. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since you have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Christ, or blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. That curtain that's been shattered, has been ripped, has been torn, has been taken out of your way, is so that you can experience the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. The one that dwells within you. Most people are afraid of that. Most people do not want to go down that road because, oh, I'm saved, that's great. But guys, there's more to life. It's not easy. There's a challenge with it. When you start doing ministry, some of y'all are challenging. I love y'all, but some of you are challenging. And maybe I'm the challenging one in your life. I don't know. I probably challenge some people, that's for sure. But we come with a confidence. Scripture says come with a confidence. What is your confidence in? Is it in your ability? Is it in your own strength? Is it in your job? Is it in your attitude? What is your confidence in? My confidence to enter into the holiest of holies is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, that I am the Son of the Most High, and that God has a plan and a purpose, and that he will use me if I'm willing to submit and move forward and step forward in what he has for me. It is not a life that is led willy-nilly. It is a life that is led to be in service for him. I want to be in the presence of God. And we can't always be in the presence of God. We kind of do that yo-yo, stair-stepping thing. But I want to be in the presence of God as much as I can. Some people think that's unrealistic, but Enoch didn't. Enoch lived a pretty good life. In fact, he got transfigured because he was so close to the Lord. Should that not be our desire? Is to be so close to the Lord that he would just take us with him? We make excuses. I make excuses. I'm too busy. Work is this. I've got this. I got this. I got this. And sometimes we even take scripture and we use that as an excuse, you know. In Romans where it talks about, oh, well, we all fall short of the glory of God. That's an excuse if you're like, well, that's why I sinned. We can't walk in that. Our lives, if we want to see revival, come to this valley. You want to see a change in your life. We have to come with a confidence and a heart. Doubt has no place in your life if you're going to walk with the Lord. When we step into a deliverance session and I say some crazy things, right? I say some crazy things in a deliverance session, but they're right. And people look at you and I look at them, and at the end of it, I always step back and like, Lord, wow, you used Balaam's donkey. I'll accept that. We need to continue with that full assurance of what Jesus did in our life to move forward and to move forward in him. One of the commentators said that we should never ask God to use us. I've done that myself. I've heard people say that, God, I want you to use me. And he made a very valid point. He said that to use something means you use it up and then you throw it out. Jesus never uses people up and he throws them out. That's what the enemy does. What Jesus does is he empowers and he anoints and he brings the Spirit upon you and he brings you to a point and a time such as this that you can do the will of the Father. That one of the things that we need to do as the body of believers is not go, Lord, use us, but Lord, anoint us and move us to a place that we can serve you, that we can usher in what you want to do in this valley. It has to be about him, only him, nothing about us, but we have to be willing to step into that. Does that make sense? Okay. One of my favorite scriptures, and I just haven't been able to get away with this over the last 7 months, 6, 7 months, is James 4, and we're going to go through 2 through 8. You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask God, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. I'm just going to take a pause there. There are believers out there that go to the altar, God, I want this, I want this, I want this. It is consumer-based Christianity. They expect to put a quarter in the machine and get a Jesus can out. It don't work that way. God will answer what he wants to answer, whatever God's will is, and we need to fall into that. We've prayed for people to be healed. And they weren't healed in this world, but they were healed in the next. We've prayed for demons to leave people's bodies, and we watched them go. We've prayed for healing, and we've seen healings happen. What haven't we asked for that God wants us to ask for in prayer? What is it that God wants you to ask for? Right? The scripture says what we need to, we don't know what to pray, so we ask God and he'll teach us, he'll tell us what we need to pray for. What is it that we need to be praying for in the body? Scripture goes on, it says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. We, in America, have walked away from Christianity and the values that God created this nation to be on. That's not a surprise. But you need to evaluate in your life. What is it that you're bringing in you to church that is enmity against God? What is it that holds you away from God? What is the worldly things that we shouldn't be bringing here? Because if this is the holiest of holies, we need to come through that door ready to experience and see what God wants to do. To watch sin be forgiven. To watch bodies be healed. To watch demons be cast out. To watch the love of the Father just teach us and embrace us and walk with us. Scripture continues. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he is jealously longs for the Spirit that has caused to dwell up in us. But he gives us more grace. And that is why the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. God has given us more grace. Because when that veil got torn and the Spirit's with us, it's all that access is there to us now. We can just go to God, ask him to forgive us, to move on. And in that process, guys and gals, we watch God change lives. Are we too proud to come to the altar on a Sunday? I hate this earpiece. Are we too proud to ask for help? Are we too proud to see truth? Are we too proud to look through our own lives and say, hey, I'm really blowing it here and I need help? That's where we need to be. I was a very proud person before I came to the Lord, and he crushed me in a good way. He showed me what I needed to do. We've got a man of God that leads this church who mentored and took time, probably a lot more time than he wanted to, but he took a lot of time. He showed me God's grace more than once. But coming with humility, coming with a heart that's willing to learn, coming with the Father's heart, saying, Lord, What is it that you want? I have no say in God's kingdom. Neither do you. God is not a respecter of persons. He will answer your prayers, but he's not a respecter of persons because he created you. He loves you. He cares about you. He has a heart for you. He wants more for you than what the world offers. God loves you. And what God's will is what will be done, whether we help or not. So for me, I'd rather get on the Jesus train and do what he's asking to do than to fight him. And the scripture continues, verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It is about submission of your life. What do you live for? Do you live for work? Do you live for football games? Do you live for the kids? Parents do most of the time. What do we live for? And what do we need to submit in our life that is an ungodly thing that has enmity against him? Because when we submit to him, in that submission, we're resisting darkness of the enemy. And when we resist the darkness of the enemy, and what has to happen? We have to take that first step. We have to draw near to God, and then God draws near to us. God's always there waiting. We have to make the move. We have to stand up for what we believe to be true in the Word of God, that sin is sin, and we have to walk through that with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit in us, so that we can be at this place, that we can resist darkness. There's an enemy in this world that wants to destroy you. You can let him do that. And you could be the second thief on the cross and miss all the blessings. Or you can be a person that stands up and fights. So submission to God is extremely important, right? Humility is extremely important. When we come with humility in worship, when we come with humility in praise and prayer, you know, we don't, I'm not going to pick on anybody's prayer time, but I love, and I've heard people, not necessarily in this church, but in other, you know, I've heard people pray, and they pray with such fervor and shallowness in that prayer that there's nothing there. And then I've heard people pray a three-word prayer, and I'm like, whoa, that rocked. The heart and how you come will matter. Where your humility is where the Lord can touch and utilize what you're doing. Ultimately, in our submission, it will bring you into a deeper relationship with the Lord. Do you want a deeper relationship with the Lord? I hope so, because it's about to get real here, I think, in the next 6 months. So you better buckle up, buttercups, because it's going to get wild. That's my opinion. I could be wrong. Are we willing to take that sin and get it away from us? Because that's really what's, when we submit and we're drawing that deeper relationship, we can let the things of the world go that we don't need, right? Do we bring forth our testimonies? Do we tell people about what God has done in our life? I just had an hour phone call at work. We do on Fridays, we do a timesheet phone call so people remember to submit their timesheets, which I really think is weird that people don't remember to submit your timesheet, but okay, I'll play. And I had an hour phone call, and there was only two people on the call, and the conversation was somebody opposing one political party. That's how it started. And certain things that are going on. And so I had an hour phone call with them, and I said, well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? Now, I did that for two reasons. One, because I have a relationship with God, and what the person was actually saying was not true. Two, both women on the call were really, really wounded by the church. really wounded by people that love Jesus and love to live in that rule, and they were bad people because they were out of the rule. Where's the love? There was none. They experienced no love. At the end of it, the one girl goes, you know what? I really needed that. Thank you. It was good to hear. Because she's literally spending time in counseling to deal with all of the political and news things that are out there because she's so invested in some of the lies that have been out there. It's scary what people go through. But we as believers, we have to be humble and we have to submit to the Lord. And we have to be able to bring that testimony to them because that'll change them. It'll help change them. We have to read the Word of God. We have to be willing to be self-controlled. We have to be willing in our prayer time and in our submission to Him, read the Word of God. You have a void in your life? When was the last time you read the Word of God? I don't know. We probably say that from the pulpit, what, 30, 40 times a year? It's true. And here's another one. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. How many people here have read through the Bible? All right. You all have knowledge. How many here have ever studied science? Mathematics. Okay, you have knowledge about science and mathematics. Somebody texted in. Knowledge is an important thing because we take knowledge and we can either accept knowledge or reject knowledge. We can either accept lies or reject lies. So we need to trust in the Lord that the Word of God is true. We need to trust in the Lord that what God's doing in our lives is what His call is. When the Lord gives us a word, that is knowledge. And so knowledge is extremely important because the knowledge tells us what the theology behind what the Lord was doing and what the Lord wants us to do. There are certain things. There are certain things that are sin that we shouldn't do, right? He gave us 10 commandments for a reason. That knowledge will then become revelation. Who here has accepted the Lord? Okay. You had a moment of revelation that Jesus is who He says He is through the Word of God, right? That's revelation. God wants you to have more revelation about His Word. How many people have ever been reading the Word of God and went, wow, when did they put that in there? Right? And you're like, oh, that's revelation. So when we take knowledge and we take the revelation of God's Word, we take the knowledge of God's Word and the revelation of God's Word, the knowledge of testimony and the revelation of testimony, and we put them together and we put them to action, we end up with impartation, which is people moving forward to do the things that the Lord has called. The second thief on the cross had the knowledge and the revelation. But because of his life choices, he never got a chance for the impartation and to live his life out for the Lord. And so when we take, when we go to that impartation, then we go to application, we're out there, we're doing the things that God asks us to do. That's our spiritual journey. Knowledge, revelation of God's Word, what God wants to do, impartation. And it never stops going. It is a lifelong journey of learning about the Lord. Pastor Ray, you've been a believer for like a year or two, right? Do you got everything figured out about the Lord? No. Any seasoned saints here been a believer for more than 50 years? Don't raise your hand. We don't know the things of the Lord always, but we need to walk that out. The knowledge that you'll get from the Word of God will help you walk out the call and it'll help give you revelation to whatever God is calling you to do, right? Sometimes we need to wait on the Lord, and sometimes to receive the Holy Spirit, we just need to do what the Lord says, right? Isn't that what the disciples did in Acts? In Acts 1, Lord tells them, hey, go wait in the upper room, pray for me. A couple things happen, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Please. I'll take one of the communion cups. Oh, boy. And when they waited there, they received power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Do you want to receive the power that the Holy Spirit has for you in your life? I hope so. I've seen some amazing things that I can't explain. It sure is fun to watch, though. To watch people be set free. I don't do it with a heart of malice or a heart that's like, oh, I just want to go do this, and this. Thank you so kindly, Caitlin.
That's a good tip. I'm thirsty.
You're awesome, Caitlin. The Holy Spirit has more for you. If you feel that you have a void in your life, that you've not experienced that, you need to start searching yourself and figuring out what, whether it be through prayer or you can ask people around you, what is it that I'm missing? Why am I not experiencing the fullness in Christ? Because, guys, it's an amazing world out there when you see it. It can be scary. It can be exhausting. It can be laborsome. I know after youth convention with all the things going on and all the giftings that the Lord has given me, I'm usually wiped out for days. But it's awesome to watch the kids be touched. It's awesome to watch people here that have been healed. It's awesome to watch people's lives be changed. And it's not about anything that we do, but more about what He does in us and through us. So the question is, what do you want? Do you want the Father in heaven who's given you the Spirit to be in communication with you and to be in communion with you more deeply so that you can be used to serve the kingdom and to grow the kingdom? Do you want and are you willing to be humble and submit your life to the Father? Are you willing to not say, to tell God, like, I've got this figured out? Are you willing to submit your intellect to His intellect and seek the mind of Christ more than your own mind? Are you willing to take fear and doubt and set it aside? This altar is always open to us. If you got an issue, come here. Holies of Holies. Are you willing to enter the Holies of Holies with God? Are you willing to let Him change you so that you are less like you and more like Him? Are you willing to resist the darkness of this world? That's a good question. That's a tough one. And here's the hard one. Are you willing to share with people what God has done in your life? Because there is power in your testimony. What God has walked you through and what God has given, has helped you overcome, matters. Because God does not create junk. God did not create the second thief on the cross to only have minutes of his life left before he went to heaven. God created the second thief on the cross to spend his whole life with him. But he rejected that. My heart is, folks, that we become to draw more toward God. And that all of us do that. I don't get it right every day. I'm not perfect. And trust me, I'm not beating the drum up here saying that I am. But what I'm saying is, if we want to see revival and we want to see changes, the things I've asked you really need to be something on your heart. And the ultimate part of that is, the other part of that is, you have to be willing to serve. Because it can't just be Pastor Legio, Pastor Ray, and I, and a few ministry heads. The whole body has to serve. The whole body has to be willing to come into the holies of holies to see God change lives.